You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 746 of the Dressage Radio Show, official podcast of the United States Dressage Federation on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products.
On tonight's show, we are going to speak with Dr. Allie Beyer. She is a doctor of physical therapy who treats equestrians of all ages and abilities. Then we are going to have a great discussion with Angela Ariati on developing confidence for kids and, of course, adults too.
Well, everybody, we also want to thank Noah Ratner so much for coming on the show and helping us. He is so busy. He's literally running a CDI this week, and it's just not able to work for him in his schedule. But he was such a great addition to the show, and we appreciated him on all the episodes and in our transition. Thanks again, Noah. This is Reese Koffler-Stanfield back in Georgetown, Kentucky.
And I am Megan McIsaac from Oregon, Wisconsin, and you're listening to the Dressage Radio Show.
Hi, Megan. How are you?
Hey, Reese. How's it going? I need to know about your trip. Tell me.
So who doesn't want to take 12 awesome women to Germany for 2 weeks? So I've been gone. A lot of people know, but I teach at the University of Kentucky in the fall. I teach a global sport horse industry. And in 2019, I actually took my first group study abroad with Dr. Jill Stowe, who is really the champion of the, I'm the social and the fun. And Jill is the one that like really makes sure that everything happens. But obviously after 2019, you know, the world, you know, we had a little problem in the world, no travel. And so then we kind of got in rotation for the university. So we took 12 great young women. I mean, I really enjoy, as we all know, when you travel anywhere for 2 weeks with anyone, there's ups and downs and all around, but the group we took was amazing. And I am so grateful I got to take women like that because they were so cool. We started in Berlin, so we left Kentucky. I literally got home from Florida, like dumped the horses, dumped my stuff, and I left again. Thankfully, my wonderful student, Lauren White, huge shout out because she took care of all of it. And got on the plane, I met in person. I did meet them the week before we left or the Wednesday before we left on campus. Wow. But of course, like I didn't know everybody's names. Like I had been Zooming in every Wednesday. I would teach class, that's in quotation. Joe would meet in person. So those guys knew each other. But by the time we landed in Germany, I knew half the kids' names. So that was good. But wow. We landed in Berlin. Mm-hmm. And we did sort of the university, I don't know why, they don't want us to do horses all the time. Like we have to do some culture. I was like, what? 50% culture? What? But we landed in Berlin and spent two and a half, three days in Berlin. And I've never been to Berlin, but I really do like World War II history. So it was really cool to see cool and disturbing all at the same time of a lot of the historical sites that obviously the Brandenburg Gate, the Holocaust, the wall. Mm-hmm. We saw the wall. We saw the Holocaust Memorial, which is really, if you've never seen it, I just don't even know how to just put it in words. Like I just stood there and it's huge and it's a kind of a labyrinth sort of. It's a little bit to make you think and feel and it makes you do all those things. The Brandenburg Gate is amazing. And then there's a parking lot, which is Hitler's bunker, which I didn't know. I thought it was a parking lot. So it was interesting to see how Germany sort of grapples with the history, but also still how do you... It's still there, right? You can't get rid of the history. So we had an awesome guide in Berlin who walked us around. Then you sort of turn a corner and then there's the Berlin Wall and wow. Checkpoint Charlie and all of those items. And it was really fascinating. And we were able to walk through the city, walk through the university. It was great. And again, it was fun to introduce the girls to German food and just being in Germany. So Berlin was its own, you know, cultural event, and we had great tours there. We went to the Berlin Wall, Wall Memorial, which is at a different part of the city. And we had all great tour guides. Like they were phenomenal and walked there And it, again, just kind of being in that part of history and the Cold War and what happened. And I didn't realize Berlin was such an island within the East. Like, I guess I never looked at a map, really. And I remember when the Berlin Wall fell, I was 9. So I remember this. But the kids, you know, we had 19, I think our youngest was 19. Our oldest was a PhD student at 26. So they don't remember. So it was interesting kind of seeing the history through their eyes. And then we got on a bus and actually drove to Bremen. And we were hoping to go to the Oldenburg Verband, but it was a holiday in Germany on the day we were there. I know. So we weren't able to go there. But we did go, and Marin at the Hanoverian Society and the Hanoverian Verband has always been amazing to our program. Like, this is our third trip, actually, because Jill and I did a scouting visit in 1918. So we've been going now, and we have great friends of our program. So the Hanoverian Society, awesome. Marin did an amazing presentation for the girls. And we also got to see a stallion licensing. That just happened to be going on there that day. So we were able to sit with Marin, and she's amazing. She's the North American rep, and she sat with us and talked to the girls, and she's also an inspector. So the kids got to see, like, and adults too, got to see, we had 3 stallions, 2 got approved, 1 didn't. So that was awesome. Yeah, that was super cool. Then we spent some time in Bremen, and there was this holiday which kind of messed our schedule up. And then super big shout out to Brandy Ronick at Shakamula. She's an American rider. She just won the 4-year-olds, and I've known her. She's been here on the podcast. I'm so generous with her time. So she took us through Shakamula, and so we saw the whole operation.
Stallions.
Yeah, it was amazing. Went through the stallion barn. I mean, you're going through, I mean, there's Vitalis sleeping, you know, it was so cool. And we got to see how they raised their foals, also their breeding operation. Their whole team was amazing to us. So we went there. We also went shopping there. I think they really enjoyed our shopping. They came in with a bus full of girls ready to spend money.
Did you bring your boots?
I did not. No, there wasn't any time. Megan kept saying, you need your boots. And there wasn't
bring
any
your
time
boots.
To ride. Yeah, there wasn't any time. I would have, you know, jumping. I'll get on any of those stallions, let me tell you.
Yes.
But after we left Brandy, we spent a little bit of time in Bremen. And then we went to Munster. And what was cool about Munster is it's a great town. If you've ever been to Munster, it's beautiful. There's a great promenade around the city. There's a great, it's called the Ansee, where you can go. And it's a real college town. So the girls absolutely loved it. We got there. And I've never been to a farmer's market like that. And anybody that is, I love a farmer's market. Mm-hmm. Amazing. So that was so cool. Then we went to a competition on Sunday. We ended up going to the competition at Blidesfeld. And Rebecca Hart, who is a friend of the show, she was training like 2 miles from where we were. And she happened to make a post. And I like texted her. I'm like, hey, friend, where are you? Are you close? And she's like, oh my gosh, I'm 2 miles. So then the girls got to have a whole discussion from Rebecca Hart, who's a 5-time Olympian, and talking about her trip there. And I mean, it was amazing. And along with just seeing sort of a national show, but you know, again, the German national shows would rival,
they're like our regionals.
They're our regionals. Yeah.
Even nationals.
Yeah. Wow. There's the VIP tent. It's great to go if you ever are there in Germany on a Sunday, because that's tricky. Sunday's kind of a funny time. We did also go to the zoo in Munster that has the Westphalian Horse Museum. Super cool. Great. Like, worth the price of admission to the zoo. We did walk around the zoo, but Jill and I spent most of our time in the German Horse Museum. It was awesome. So that was super fun. I really enjoyed seeing the history. And they actually talked about Kentucky, because we're there for the University of Kentucky, the photographer that took the picture that is actually the most, I'm probably going to get the stat wrong, but it was a picture on the Kentucky horse park and also on the license plate of Kentucky. Well, it turns out they didn't license it properly. Apparently there was a big lawsuit with the state of Kentucky. So that was kind of interesting. and then it was like, girls, you got to get a picture with the Kentucky license plate. So... And then we went to the horse show, which we had a blast, and we kept them. They were tired, Megan. By the time we got them home, they didn't cause any trouble because we kept them moving. And then we went to Michael Klemke's, who's my coach. He was wonderful. And we went to Fabian Schultz. His wife, Karina, was the alternate for the Tokyo Games. And, you know, knock on wood, she's getting ready for Paris. So we got to talk to Karina and see her ride. And then the next day we went to Warndorf, which, if you've ever been to Warndorf, it's wonderful. And we went to the FN and we had an mm-hmm. amazing presentation at the FN. We went to the State Stud. Mm-hmm. Which our girl was sick. So myself and our guide, she was with us the whole time, but her horse knowledge was pretty, I had to earn my keep that day. Cause I had to like translate all the horsey stuff, and it's been a long time. But then we get to go to Warndorf, which is a great town to walk around if you ever have a chance. I had a fantastic presentation at the FN. And then we went to the DOKR, which is the German Training Center. So basically, like, what was our Gladstone? We don't have anything like the DOKR anymore. Unfortunately, yeah. I wish we did. But we were, and it's amazing. If you've ever been there, for example, I had a lot of eventing girls on the trip, and they have an eventing field. And they go to, like, let's say they come to Kentucky here, and they see a combination that the horses mm-hmm. have never seen. They build it in that field. They just build it. Like, wow. It's insane. Yeah, they just build the question. So the riders get a lot of support there. The German team, that's where the German team goes and trains. They literally, we didn't see the physio rooms and things downstairs under the, they have an arena just for dressage. I mean, I walked in there and I was like, oh, the best horses in the world train here. You know, yeah. I was just like a kid at a candy store. It was amazing. And then we got on the bus and went to Frankfurt. And this was really special. And Megan, you would know, mm-hmm. you know, I train with, and Megan too, we train with mm-hmm. Konrad Schumacher from the time we were little. I was mm-hmm. 14. So it's actually 30 years.
That and you went there for like a whole, what?
I lived there 2 years. Yeah, I was there 2 years. So I basically like went home to my German home, and it was Mr. Schumacher absolutely rolled the red carpet out for the girls. Like, I mean, it was just amazing to be there. You know, his daughter-in-law has taken over the farm. Mm-hmm. So it looks different. She's a veterinarian. So she's made some really cool choices with horse husbandry and, mm-hmm. and how to, you know, it was just really cool to talk about how her philosophy with raising horses and having horses. So that was fascinating and just one, it was just awesome. And then Mr. Schumacher, he has golf courses there. And I think the girls love this. He put us all on golf carts and took us on like a golf cart safari. The girls loved it. Oh my God. They had a blast. And I think Mr. Schumacher did too. I mean, we had like this whole little caravan of golf carts, and which was phenomenal.
Were there a lot of changes since you've been there?
They changed a lot. Because his daughter-in-law has taken over, there's more turnout. Ooh. And then Mr. Schumacher did a whole presentation with horses in the stable. Mm-hmm. His little granddaughter came out and she showed us her pony. We didn't talk about why her pony wasn't amazing for dressage. And then Mr. Schumacher gave a lesson that the girls got to watch. And that horse had just gone to the Young Horse Championships, or was getting ready for the Young Horse Championships this year. He went last year. So that was fantastic. So, I mean, it was just, I was just like, oh my gosh, like who would have thought when because I was their age when I was there. And I thought, who would have ever thought I was bringing kids back to here?
The next generation.
And so Mr. Schumacher, he was wonderful. Then we had dinner at his restaurant on the property. There's a couple restaurants, which was just so special. And then we spent the next day just in Frankfurt, kind of just decompressing and having a tour of Frankfurt, and the girls got some free time, which we'll talk about later in the show and how free time is important with kids and ponies and kids on study abroad. And then we got on the plane and came home. So girl, I mean, I was exhausted. It's taken me a week just to get organized, but really loved it. And I think the girls really appreciated and loved it too. And quite an experience for everybody. So
it sounds like an amazing trip. I want to go next year.
Jill and I, who knows, stay tuned. Everyone's like, when do we do an adult tour?
Yes.
Like, well, you know, this could be a very interesting 15th side gig that I do. We'll see.
Yes.
But it was great. And I'm so glad I got the experience myself and for my girls as well. So stay tuned. If you come to University of Kentucky, everyone, in 3 years, we'll do it again. So yeah, it was fun to lead. So, but we have a great show, and we're going to have a break from Kentucky Performance Products and come back with another fantastic interview.
Frequently Asked Questions brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. My older gelding is having trouble holding his weight, and I'm afraid to feed him any more senior feed. he gets all the hay he wants. What do you recommend? Many older horses are eventually unable to maintain acceptable body condition on a typical diet of hay and grain alone. When you want to add calories without the risk of digestive upset, we recommend Equijoule Rice Bran. It is an excellent source of easy-to-digest calories for older horses. The fat in Equijoule is a concentrated energy source. It will increase calorie consumption and improve body condition without risking grain overload. Start your older horse on 1/4 pound per day and work up to 1 or 2 pounds per day over a few weeks. Remember, small meals fed 3 to 4 times per day will help your older horse better utilize the feed. You can learn more about Equijoule at kppusa.com. Got questions about your feeding program? We can help. Email Karen at questions@kppusa.com or call us at 859-873-2974.
Well, tonight we are so excited to have Dr. Ali Beyer. She is a PT and a dressage rider, and I am thrilled to have you on the show. Ali, welcome.
Well, you guys, this is going to be so fun. I feel a lot of joy and gratitude to you both for having me.
Thanks. Well, Ali, first of all, tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Yeah, I grew up riding. Like you said, dressage is near and dear to my heart, but I did my time in Pony Club and the Hunter Jumper Circuit and dabbled around until going to school for physical therapy. And at that time, my brain just got immersed in so much good biomechanics and anatomy and movement education. And then for about a decade after I graduated, I was strictly a physical therapist for regular people. And then for the past 5 years have been only working with horseback riders. So I'm out in the field, literally in fields, arenas, barn aisles, wash stalls, and helping people really learn about themselves, their body, how it moves, why it moves the way it moves. And then we put everything we learn back into the saddle and install all that fun learning into their exact riding goals.
Well, Ali, I'm really excited to start working with you because my student is going to start into show season. And I kind of wanted to talk about how the body and showing and the mental aspect, if you could touch on where we're headed and share with the listeners how you're going to help us.
Yes, yes. Oh, I just love collaboration. Every time I work with a rider, I'm working with them, their body, their health history, of course, their horse, and then the trainer and how, you know, just how it works in terms of your education to your client. And I think what I also tell people is like, okay, what does your trainer tell you over and over and over again? And it's just not clicking. So it's been great. Our initial work with our shared client was really about like the fizzy, excited / terrified energy of summer competition.
Yeah.
Like the body's ready to do it. The mental state gets disrupted. And then all of a sudden, all these body patterns we learn kind of fly out the window. So I think it's important to know that, you know, your nervous system is the driver for how your muscles move. If you even are aware that you have an entire body, because when your nervous system goes into survival mode, yeah, you really are literally just, you know, at the very primal level thinking about survival. Can I, you know, I freeze and I orient to whatever the heck that sound was that came from the corner of the ring. And for that little bit of time, I get distracted. But then does my body, you know, lock up and get into like a protective fetal position? Do I feel flighty and my mind starts to race and I can't focus on what my trainer's trying to say? But then also there's people who go into freeze states. And the best way I can describe this is you just disconnect from your body. You're like, what was my brain doing? Like, you know, the instructor will tell you something. You're like, gosh, I didn't even think about the whole right side of my body. You know, and it's really hard. It's really, really hard when people put in the hours into these routines in the off season to get strong and balanced. And that's absolutely something I love helping people with, but it kind of all dissolves when you get into these freeze states that comes from just the natural part of our nervous system being triggered. And then you put in a show season. Ugh, it's hard. Yeah. It's so hard.
And I'm really, really excited to work together on this because as a coach that has been coaching numerous students for numerous years, I personally have struggled helping my students at horse shows because I have one person at home and then we go to the horse show and they do things I've never coached them to do. And so I'm also looking for assistance as well and seeing how you help my student as well as help me coach her because it is a struggle. And with all the stresses of what my client goes through, you know, she doesn't just have show season. She has a job. She has a life outside of horses. And so I'm looking forward to seeing how mentally and physically you work with her. And can you kind of give us your process? Like you start virtual or do you meet in person?
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of ways to do it. Like the true bread and butter service I offer is in person. Mm-hmm. However, that like the moment you know you might be getting a little bit more interest into, you know, the nervous system side of things, I really like taking that virtual and not in the middle of the barn for the first few sessions because here's what it looks like. This is really where we talk about a modality called somatic experiencing. And it's not getting into like mental fortitude or toughness or confidence. It really is about trying to play around with all the times that our nervous system gets triggered into threat. Here's something that we forget to do as humans. You know, I talked about fight or flight or freeze. Mm-hmm. But then like our horses do so often for us, you know, oh, there's the sound. I perked my ears up. I tensed up. It's not threatening anymore. I take a breath. I snort. I lick and chew. I shake my neck maybe. And then they go back to grazing. But mm-hmm. us as humans, life is so fast. We don't discharge that survival energy. So what it looks like in somatic experiencing is really helping someone figure out actual tangible movements that they can do with their body to help discharge that energy. And of course, you know, this is different for every person. Somebody might feel really good doing something with their upper body. And I tell people this is, you know, for anyone who's fallen, when you're falling, the big survival strategy your body will choose unconsciously. Like these are primal brain centers like processing grass coming to my face. What should I do? And you'll put your arm out to brace. And that is a defense mechanism to help the ground not hit you. But the bummer is the ground hits you. Like mm-hmm. the defense mechanism didn't work. But there's so much energy hoping it'll work and it didn't. So what we can do, I'd love for you guys to try this right now and even for listeners, you know, be safe if you're driving.
Yeah, but if you're just driving, take careful. One
take a hand out and put your hand up like you're saying stop, right? So the palm is facing out. And I want you to just think about like getting your whole body ready to just super slowly push away and start to do it now real slowly, super gradually. And you're making space. These are boundary creating muscles and you're pushing away to give your torso and your legs and your thoughts and your emotional state some space. And then when your arm doesn't want to push out anymore, you stop. And there's my body's deep breath that I just get.
Yeah,
and there's that little reset, right? That little bit of survival energy that maybe worked or maybe didn't work in the time you first used it. It's not being stored now by my chest and my neck or my jaw. And now it's just like dissipated. Like we can shed this stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
For your client. Yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna ask you because I've had to work for myself with a sports psychologist quite often, and so I also had to learn strategies. And one of the things that I used to really bother me, and it would really keep me up at night, was the fact I was always feel like I would go around the outside of the ring and I couldn't feel my feet. Like, I was like, I can't feel my legs. So, and so one of the things that I had to learn is when I start to get that feeling, like even now, like I'll wiggle my toes and I'm like, your legs are fine. Like, your legs are still working.
They're here.
They're still underneath your body. But it was the same kind of feeling of having to wiggle my toes so that I had a really good strategy for what was going on. So that is one of the strategies that I had to learn. When I get nervous and I'm going around the ring, along with deep breath. And then another thing was I stop, and I had seen a lecture about having a moment of gratitude. And I wiggle my toes and I stop and have a moment of gratitude of, wow, this is really cool. Even if I'm at a little schooling show in Florida, it doesn't matter, wherever I am, I'm always like, I'm very grateful. Right. And so I really believe in what you're saying, because these are my things that I need to do to kind of put me in the right mindset for competition. And then I was going to also ask you, I mean, what I find with riders too, is to work with someone to give you strategies is really important, like critical, but you also have to practice doing it. And I find riders, you know, maybe they go to 2 or 3 horse shows a year, and it's hard to practice those strategies. You know, when we're really training and doing CDIs or doing big things, you know, we're going every week sometimes until you get comfortable. So can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think, you know, depending on what area of the country you're in, you know, we're in Lexington, Kentucky right now, and we have a kind of a great little, we have horse shows here, but we also have a schooling show circuit. So if I have people that are having trouble with their strategies, we'll go to some of those smaller shows just to kind of give them repetition, if that makes sense. But if you don't have that option, like how are some strategies? How can you handle that?
Well, it's a big, you can pull this out of the horse world. And I know the word is, it sounds dramatic, but trauma is anytime our body feels threatened out of its state of just happiness and camaraderie and gratitude and eating. Like, there's a really happy place that we want to be at. And if we get startled out of that, something sincerely traumatic, big traumatic happens, right? Like, that's inevitable in life. Things are going to happen. So trauma resilience is a really big topic. And what I appreciate out of this somatic experiencing work I do is you picture your nervous system, a cup of water, and you're, you know, middle-aged at this point, and you had XYZ childhood and those car accidents and all those falls off the horse, all that's really filled up your cup, your nervous system capacity. So now here I am at a dressage show and a horse gets loose and like, I'm done. I'm at capacity. I can't handle that. And things fall apart really quickly. So what somatic experiencing and nervous system work like this does is just doing the session, just doing the one-on-one session, is pouring water out of that cup. It's offloading your nervous system. So going to the show and actively doing no strategies, you'll already handle that loose horse better. You just have room in your cup to handle that traumatic event. Sure. And that, to me, like, if I were a rider, I would love to know, like, I did the work with Allie, and now just living's easier, period. And I can also try this pushing away. I can try this orienting to my surroundings. And every time I notice, you know, birds in my ears, I notice my back softens. Like, so there are strategies with this, but there's also just a sense of, I did some clearing out and now I have more space for summer.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
And it's really exciting to me to just see how much riders are using other professionals too, right? Like the psychology of it, the body work of it, this nervous system work, I think is just, I'm most excited about it in my professional realm, but it's a bit newer.
Yeah. And it is newer.
Do you, Do you ever have clinics for trainers? I know in your flyer that you put on clinics, but do you ever help trainers help their students?
So it's done, I'd say, like before and after the riding clinics that I do. You know, I'm calling the trainer on the front end. I'd love to know your notes about each rider. And then afterwards, they get these video and photo reports and I share it with the trainer. But you just gave me a fantastic idea, Megan. Like almost like a summit sounds like sounds really big. But kind of like just this gathering of professionals and saying like, know your rider's nervous system cues. Like, here's how to work if someone gets freezy. Here's how to work if someone's getting heavy-handed with their horse. Like, this could be fight energy that needs to be discharged. Yeah. You know, just some recognition of it to help you guys. That's a great idea. 100%.
So okay, because we really like the exercises. Like, that was a great exercise. What would you do if you have somebody freeze? Like, what are just a high level, like, what would you do with the freezing?
Yeah, and what I would say for that, it's hard to, like, so please try this with your client beforehand.
Yeah,
and ask them to recall a time that they froze before. It'd be lovely, like, if you guys had a certain show that day, blah, 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 set the scene. And then just ask, as you're thinking back to that feeling of freeze, what do you notice in your body now? And they might say, you know, gosh, it kind of feels like a cloud's forming around my head. And then what you do is try to get them attached to the very edge of what they do notice. So it might be like the clouds around my head, but I can feel my arms. Okay, well, let's just notice the arms a little bit. So just notice the edge of what's frozen, right? What can thaw? What's the most accessible? What 1 inch of your body are you aware of right now? And sort of latch onto that like a little life raft. And the more they notice that, the rest of them can kind of come back too. And then again, I'd always say orienting. All 5 senses. What do you see right now? What do you hear right now? What do you taste? Like, it's incredibly helpful to orient a nervous system towards the present moment and towards safety.
Do you have them do any exercises like at the hotel before they go to the horse show or before, you know, an hour before they ride? Do you ever recommend anything like that?
Yeah. So a big one for me that I teach quite often is using the driveway of their property. Mm-hmm. And then you can start doing this when you drive the drive onto the competitive grounds too. But again, noticing safety is an important one. I often just sort of get a vibe of the place when I drive up to new farms. Oh, that dog looks really comfortable basking in the sun, or okay, those horses look like they're enjoying that grass. Like, the more I'm noticing safety and calmness, the more it's automatically steadying my nervous system and going to give me access to like my full capabilities. So you could have them do it at the in gate waiting for their turn.
Okay.
Because at that point, no last mental cue is going to make a difference, but steadying their nervous system gives them the best shot.
Yeah. And that that would make sense too. Cause you could practice that. Like you said, like having it as I call it a muscle, you know, that you've practiced and you've worked out that muscle. Like, you have done that practice of, hey, let's talk about it as we come into the horse show. Okay. Let's talk about it as we're going into the warm up, just to kind of keep them sort of in the right mental space. Cause I have dealt with this problem with students before, and it, you know, it's a little bit hard at sometimes you're like, what is going on? But it, you know, it's coming from something or whatever. And so I love this strategy because I'm going to employ this. Actually, I love it.
You don't need to know anything about their like mental or personal or trauma history. It's all very in the moment too. So if you just like, try not to be scared of it, if you will, because I think a lot of people want to maintain privacy and not tumble into people's drama, but just keep them in the moment, and studying your own self. If they're not breathing, take a breath for them. If they're not present and they're starting to freeze, feel your feet in the sand a little, because a nice, helpful system next to them automatically helps too.
Interesting. Oh my gosh. Well, we could seriously keep you on here forever. We're going to have to, Megan and I are going to come up with more questions and have you come back on, because this has been awesome.
Let's do it.
Been so helpful. And I can guarantee, I mean, I've dealt with kind of every single one of the things that you've talked to as a coach. And sometimes you're truly like, I don't know. This is way above my pay grade. This is not what we deal with at home. Like, this is tough. And I always say horse shows, they're super fun, but I hate them because people they're not normally. And you're like, what is happening? You're a PhD. You're a very successful human or whatever it is.
And I can't.
Well, thank you both.
It's, you know, as a competitor, I want to go out and compete. And I feel so bad for my students because they come away disappointed and I don't have that wherewithal to help them. And I want to help them. So I definitely think you should think about this trainer summit. So
I love it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, and
you guys are great. Thanks for being the trainers you are for like feeling for your patients and having that empathy and being open-minded to like the whole crew of team that can support you guys. So this is inspiring to hear trainers like you.
We try. Well, Dr. Ali, how can our listeners find you online and get more information about you and your program?
Great. Yeah, the website is rideequipped.com. So I know you guys will put that in the show links. And then I'm on Facebook under Equipped, but the exact handle is Every Step, Every Stride. And then also on Instagram at Ride Equipped.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you,
Allie.
So, Megan, I got to tell you about Savvy Feeder, because I got home from Germany and there was this awesome box sitting in the barn. And this is a fantastic product. So the Savvy Feeder is made with the industry's best poly material, is safe on teeth, lips, and gums. It's freestanding, so it's safe for shod horses and enables horse owners to slow feed hay in a natural foraging position anywhere. So I get home from Germany and there's this awesome box, super well packaged. And I opened it and it said, be careful opening it. So I gently opened it and you lift your Savvy Feeder out. So it's, I'm trying to think of size. I'm not very good with size, but you know, it's a box and you pull it out and it's really easy to use. So what you do is you pull it out and then when you need to fill your Savvy Feeder, you flip it over, you put your hay in, and then you flip it back over and it locks in place. I am not, as everybody knows, I'm not very technical, but this is great. So what is good about this feeder is that the horses are grazing on the ground, right? Or in the box. So they're not, because I've had a lot of trouble with horses and hay nets and back trouble. So that's actually why I was really interested in this product. So the other thing is, right, so the horses are grazing naturally, so they don't have any neck or back pain.
Mm-hmm.
Truly, you save money by using this product because your hay is, they're not, being in Florida, anyone who's in Florida, or really, their hay prices all over the country are crazy. There's nothing that will make me crazier than seeing hay in my muck pile, right? Mm-hmm. I can't stand it. So it's money saving because it stays within the box, the feeder, right? And you can also feed them, you can put as much or as little in the box as you want. And it's a slow feed. So it's really good for horses that are bored or they're, you know, causing trouble, which I, you know, I'm a young horse, you know, he's got some energy, right? So they can eat the whole time, right? Because there's a net and there's different sizes nets, but they can nibble all the time. So it's really good for their GI tracts because they're always eating. Right. There's three great sizes. I think I got the slow feed one, but I didn't get the really small one or the really big one. I sort of got the one in the middle, which is the one I really like.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I love this product. I had known about it. Actually, one of my clients had it before, so I had used it and I love it. So we clean them out every couple of days, you know, just because I like to make sure they're eating green, fresh hay all the time. But by the end of the night, the grates on the bottom, like they have eaten, if we usually fill it, which is about 3 to 4 flakes. And then by the morning, it's all gone. But I know that they've been eating the whole time. So that's been really, really cool.
I got to look into this because you prefer these over hay nets.
Oh, hands down. I don't use hay nets anymore, actually, after using the Savvy Feeder, because I was having some back troubles. Really was, because of the way the horses were eating. So Quality discounts are available starting at 15% for 3 feeters or more. They're super durable. Great replacement products, parts are available. Not any problem with that. The company is riders and people that manage a facility. So they know how this works, right? And there's a 30-day 100% customer guarantee, satisfaction guarantee. I'm telling you, it is absolutely worth trying. I wouldn't not feed with them anymore because I had packed. When it's packed up, we just take it to horse shows. So a good friend of mine, she just packs them and puts them in the horse show. So literally when you get to the horse show, all you got to do is pull it out and it's ready to go. So it's really, really handy. Yeah. So they're great. I was so excited to get my box. I squealed. Bingo was like, I don't think Bingo, at first he was like, what? My hay's not on the ground anymore. And I was like, no, sir. Also is your belly. He's got a little belly. So, but the horses figured out really, really quick. I mean, he was eating it within literally 2 minutes, and I was playing with it. So it's easy to assemble, et cetera. So it's invented, assembled, and distributed by horse people for horse people in the U.S. It's made in the U.S., which is awesome. Order your Savvy Feeder today. Order yours at SavvyHorseProducts.com. I highly, highly recommend them. Well, tonight I am so excited to have our favorite, or one of them for sure, favorite guest back on the show, Angela Ariadi from Ariadi Equestrian Services. Angela, welcome back.
Thanks, Reese. It's such a beautiful day here in Kentucky. Weather is great, and the kids are out of school this week.
They're out of school, actually. So. But I do have to say, the last time I saw Angela was Sunday before, and I am not joking with you kids. We have serious weather, and Angela rides her test. I see it coming over the hill, and I'm like, so I think we should go back to the trailer. And I like literally got her back to the trailer, and I was like, see ya, I gotta go. Good luck.
I'm out. I'm in the middle of the field.
I was like, she wrote a killer test. She did awesome. Of course, she had her team there, but I was like, I gotta go. And I am glad because let me tell you, it was not a beautiful day in Kentucky on Sunday. Trees were flying everywhere. Like, she drove home. So anyways, it is a beautiful day here after our really bad weather. So I hope everyone truly is okay. And I was glad to meet it also. Okay, home. So side note, Angela, welcome back. And we do have a beautiful day and the kids just got out for summer. So
yes,
we're summertime, girl.
So the summer schedule for the kids things slow down, but what we try to do around here is we try to separate them from their mamas.
We love you mamas. But I need to be separated.
June is all about separation. So, and what we mean by that is there's lots of skills you don't realize your child could do because you're in a rush during the school day. You know, we got to get the horse together. We got to get going. We got to get back to bed. We got to whatever. But in summertime, you have more time to let the kid explore how to do the buckle on the bridle.
Mm-hmm.
To let the kid explore of here's the saddle. Go find, what do you need to put this saddle on? Mm-hmm. You know, lots of kids need a stool. So it's important for their development that they are able to make a mistake. And we actually do a game of like, we want you to make a mistake. We want you to tack up this horse and make a mistake that we have to find.
Oh, so, that's cool. Like, great one. That's a great exercise. I should do that with my own working students. Find it.
So like, I've never done that. We always want them to be perfect.
We always want them to be perfect. But the thing about confidence that people don't understand is confidence doesn't come from me telling your kid he's good. Confidence comes from me having faith that it's okay for them to make a mistake, allowing them to make the mistake.
So true.
So I don't want to say set them up for failure. That's not a very good statement. But I do put challenges and opportunities in their way to make a mistake and safely. And we make the mistake and then we say, oh, there is a mistake. So let's fix that. For instance, everybody, it's very difficult to teach a 6-year-old a 20-meter circle. Mm-hmm. One of the major reasons it's difficult is because they don't have a lot of spatial awareness. So like all my 12-year-olds know that even though they feel like adults, that they're not adults because they don't have their frontal lobes. They tell it to everybody. They're like, oh, made a mistake. Don't have my frontal lobe. which is true. So a 6-year-old has very little spatial awareness, okay? It's very difficult for them to, that 20-meter circle is huge. It's like a, you know, it's like a 60-meter circle or it's just they're out in space just wandering. So we'll take the dots that you can go on Amazon. You can buy these cones that are dots. They're just round disc. I think they're used for golf.
For soccer. Soccer.
Mm. Oh, for soccer.
I bought them from soccer because I bought them from Angela. I was at Angela's and I bought them on Amazon. They're for soccer. Or
yeah.
I'll play.
So if you go on the USDF app and it shows you your test and it shows you little dots. Right? You know what I mean? In the diagram? Mm-hmm. So what you do is you take the kids and they have to put the dots out of where they're going to go. And then they have to ride dot to dot.
Okay. I just got to pause you. I think this could be anyone. I don't think you have to be a kid. You could be a 45-year-old person and put this bad boy out. Or if you're in your 70s and struggling with this, like, let's do some dot training. I love it.
Yes, let's do some dot training. So, but the kids like it. The kids like to use the colors. You know, orange is going to be walk, blue is going to be trot, whatever. And then they make the dots. And then the other thing that's really, really important for their confidence is to let their creativity shine. So develop your own test. Develop your own test with your dots. You know, do a freestyle. Go for it. We like to, and we've talked about this before, we like to say, like, how can you ride a 4 with your horse? Like, how could you actually ride the 4 without crossing the lines?
Can't you ride a 4 with my horse? I want to do this. I'm going to do this with my horse. why are you saying this, kid?
Was that reason?
Great.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So now we're going to get to some of the other things you want to do. You want to take them to a new venue. You want to take them camping. You want to do hill work. You want to do Cavaletti. You want to do trail obstacles because then it makes them feel more involved and they don't have to show. They can just go out there. Like this last weekend, I was showing and the little girl said to me, she always just wanted to ride in the Rolex ring. I said, well, ride the Rolex ring. There's a intro test and there's a, you know, you can ride intro test. And so she did. And she thought, I mean, that was on her bucket list. This was her dream.
She nailed it.
Nailed it. Exactly.
Yeah, nailed it. It's amazing.
But the other opportunity it gives them is like they're becoming more independent. So I teach a lot of kids that their parents are also riders or jockeys. And those parents are very much into throwing their kids into the fire, if you will. And what they do is like, okay, we're going on a trail. You know, we're going on a trail ride. You got to go get your pony. They go get their pony. They put the halter on wrong way. Oh, fix that. You know? And so that gives them opportunities to kind of make a mistake, right? Mm-hmm. Lead your pony on the trailer, lead your pony off the trailer, put the boots on your pony. Who cares if the boots are on backwards? Just put them on. How would you put them on? And that's a big thing that people don't understand is that there's not many opportunities for kids to do buckles.
Yeah.
So one of a rainy day thing is we have snaps and buckles and Velcro and, you know, the buckles that go around, I don't even know what they're called, around the bit, you know, how it's like a different type of buckle like that on a board and that they have to do it.
Are these camps or is this every day?
Well, in camps, for sure. For camps, absolutely. And then every day, we have a horsemanship class once a month. So, you know, and that really goes by the Pony Club standard. But for building confidence, we like to do things like you guys get to set up your stall today, or you guys get to show me how to hang that bucket or fold the blankets or take the bridles apart and mix all the pieces together and say, solve the puzzle. That's a big thing. or, you know, design your dressage test, design your jump course. And then the other thing is, like Reese said, I love free time. Free time is important for them to try to, like, you'll see the kids either not do anything. I mean, I've had a kid sleep on their pony. I want to sleep on my pony. And of course the mom is like dying that she's sleeping on the pony. Right. But that's what she needed. She knew what she needed and she was comfortable. So what's wrong with her being comfortable, you know, to sleep on her pony?
This is why I'm not a parent or do camps. I would have a problem. I'm like itchy just thinking about that.
But yeah, like, but it's free time and it's their free time. And for them to, they have to get independent and they have in order to be confident. So to be confident, it's not about me telling them that they're good. It's about them actually in a situation where they need to solve the situation and practice skills. So practicing skills, very important, not just showing them how to do it and having them do it, but practicing the skills in the free time. So you will see if you give them 5 minutes of free time, 10 minutes of free time, they will practice. They will practice on their own. So that's a big thing for me, that they're allowed to make mistakes. I know I've had kids come to me and they're like, well, I don't know, she's not doing this, not that. My favorite thing to do is to lock them in the little barn, right, Reese? Here's your pony. Here's your saddle.
It's so cute. It's so cute. And this happened like with my niece. And you know, because again, she has no shot. She has three professional, basically, people around her. So of course, we just do it. And I have like zero patience. So I'm not usually the one there. But Angela's like, hey, I got to go to the bathroom. And she, of course, she's around the corner. But, you know, and I didn't even think about it because it's true. At some point, you have to learn all this stuff. And for a while, my niece was like, is anyone going to come help her? And I was like, oh, we help her too much. And nobody came. So she figured it out. Okay. I was there the other day. Angela will help them. So I was there and a sweet little Angel was tacking her pony up and couldn't get the stirrup bars on. So Angela's like, Reese, could you go put the stirrup bars on there or the stirrup on the stirrup? I was like, sure. And I went in there and I couldn't get it either. I was like, I'm out. I would call someone else. Like I couldn't do it. Angela came in and did it.
Yeah.
It was tough. So, I was like, Angela, I can't do it. It's too thick. Like I would get a new one.
They have to solve the problem, right? Yeah. Because they're really smart and they're not very brave all the time. And what they'll do is they'll wait for you to do it because they know you're gonna get anxious. And want it done and want it done right. And you have to let go with, it's okay if they do it wrong. It's okay if their circle looks like a six a couple times. You have to reward that. And then you have to come back and correct it. But you have to reward that they tried. You have to reward the try. Because as you reward the try, then they feel better about themselves. They have more confidence. They tried something and it wasn't a total disaster. And, you know, they're not mad at me.
Training a horse.
Exactly like training a horse. Yep. Exactly like training a horse.
Truly, this could come to all riders, not just kids. And I will tell you, I've been at Angela's when they get to go on free time. It is so cute. I'm in the arena, you know, coaching somebody. And I look up and I see these two little boppers and they go, we're free. No, they're not really free. I mean, they were in a field that was probably 2 acres to maybe 3 acres. Maybe. I mean, it's a huge field. I mean, there are professional riders right there. Like I'm there. Angela's there. Angela's assistants are there. Like they're not free, but they were so cute. And I was like, I stopped for a second and watched them. Because to watch them, they're like high-fiving and we're free and they're trotting off. And the ponies really aren't impressed. They wanted to really eat, but they were great.
Yeah, they have guidelines of things they can't do. Like you're allowed to do walk, trot. You can go anywhere in this field. And it's not it's a 2-acre field. And speaking of the field, though, that's a big thing, though, to me, is that, like, at the back of our outdoor arena, we have a little, we call it the hill. It's a little bump. It was supposed to be an Irish bank, but it's a bump. And what I do with the little ponies and the little kids is we walk up the hill and we stop right at the top so we can find our balance point because the ponies have to stand really narrow together at the very top. And then the kid has to like lean forward and lean back and kind of feel what they feel like. And so riding hills and going up and down the grade is really, really important at the walk, just to find your balance point. That's really important to me. You know, riding bareback, that's always fun. Mm-hmm. For kids. No.
Nope.
For kids. No. Come on, which one? No. But again, not pushing them into something that you want to do, pushing them into something that they want to try. That's a big thing. Talking to them and then not having a timeline. That's a big thing. Summer does not have to have a timeline. It does not. At camp, I'm very time oriented, and everybody's going to leave at 3:30. Darn it! But there are space gaps in there for freedom, if you will, for practice time, for freedom. So that's a big thing, the confidence. And then the other thing that we do in our camp is we hire a student or a teacher, and she uses science and math on the, like planting the seed and how it grows, and then it becomes grass, and then it goes to seed and goes down. And then she does calculations using the feed bags, how many pounds your pony gets, how many pounds in the bag, how much feed does Angela need. So they're actually practicing and putting to use skills that they need in school and seeing how those go together. That's actually a really big part. She does some other experiments with fertilizer and things that I'm always like, what's happening? but
that makes sense, because as the kids get older, you guys just did a really cool fundraiser. I got to plug it, because I was like, they're doing what? That's why I love to go to Angela's. But they were doing fertilizer, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. So that was a big thing. So the science teacher said, what, here's our compost pile, but is it really good? And how do we know that it's going to? So the pony clubbers had to do a conservation project.
Oh, cool.
And the older pony clubbers. And so they decided, Angela, why don't we make fertilizer out of our compost, like Miss Annie said we could, and we'll sell it to pay for our testing at Pony Club. And then that'll be our conservation project. I was like, good luck. Brilliant. Well, they made the sifter. They sift it. They sift it. And then they had it tested. And they sift it by hand. I mean, it's incredible. And then they had it tested. And it's high in nitrogen. And they figured out what part of the plant needs nitrogen and what plants grow best in high nitrogen. And then they called it knock your socks off nitrogen compost. And it has, and they made a little horse with socks on his ears, and they sell it at a big garden show every year. Now they get asked back, and they have their own little band. I mean, they have their own little business. They make like $1,800 a year. And it all came from, what can we use this compost for? Because you really can't put the compost on everything. It burns, So, I mean, if you're just sifting it and not turning it and everything else, they were trying to go very organic. So that's a big thing. But the biggest thing I would encourage all parents and anybody who has kids, I mean, even if they don't ride, teaching them how to fold the blanket. Say, hey, let's hang in. How would you fold this blanket? Or how would you put this together? And using their hands to do buckles and snaps and zippers, that's a big thing, because they don't do that. I mean, they know how to touch a screen really well.
Yeah. It is so cool. Really well. Well,
Angela,
we always love it when you come on, because you have such great ideas. And quite frankly, this is great ideas for grownups too. Just saying.
Yeah.
No, I love it. So, Angela, as we come this summer, how can our listeners find you online and maybe find some more tips about what they can do with their kiddos this summer?
So we're boosting our Facebook page. So the Ariadne Equestrian Service on Facebook is the best way. And I know we have an Instagram, but that's the best way to find us right now. We're revamping our website. So big time.
I love it. So, well, thank you so much, and have a great summer. And I can't wait to see those
free time kids and having a great time. Yes.
All right. Nice to talk to you, ladies.
Okay.
Have a good night. Bye.
Well, Megan, we just wanted to remind everybody, we still have a book club book going. You just got it. So you and I are going to be busy little bees reading this because we're going to review this next show and we're going to talk about it. So The Horse and Positive Tension by Stefan Stamer. And it's a great book. You can grab it at horseandriderbooks.com. We are going to review it, everybody. So get it out, dust her off, because we have exciting things happening with the book club. So we're going to review this one. This is a great book. I found I need to read a couple chapters, put it down, digest it, come back, read a couple more chapters. So we hope you enjoy it. And as always, you know, you can send us an email or reach out to us on Facebook. We love it when you do that. You can find our show notes and links to today's guest on our page at horseradionetwork.com. Search Dressage Radio Show. Like us on Facebook, just search Dressage Radio Show. My website is maplecrestfarmky.com and my email is reese@horseradionetwork.com.
And my website is lindenhoff.com, and you can email me at lindenhoff, LLC@gmail.com. We'd like to thank all of our friends and show sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products and Savvy Feeders. If you'd like to support our show and the Horse Radio Network, you can do that through the auditor program found at thehorseradionetwork.com. Come support us. Woohoo!
Woohoo! Everybody have a great week. We've enjoyed having you on the show, and keep riding.